Brothers and sisters, we have every reason to be excited, no matter what's going on in our lives, because of the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Amen.
That is the important part of our relationship with the Lord. That's the important part. The fact that we are born again. If we truly accepted Jesus, if we truly come in humble repentance to Him, we have truly accepted Him as Lord of our lives, Savior of our eternities, then we are born again. I asked Teddy, he shared something with me this morning, and I said, brother, if you're willing, would you share it for us? So I think sometimes we forget how important it is not to just have a knowledge of Jesus, but to truly be born again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Teddy Gerald. I'm speaking here. Sorry, just so I get something.
Okay.
And I haven't been here every Sunday because I've got some things going on. My wife's been ill, and I've just got a lot of things going on. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to make it every Sunday or every meeting, but that's not because I don't want you. And this is just as much as a part of my family as it is at home. So that's important you don't know. I was talking with Pastor Kurt. I've had some instances in the last, just recently, where the Holy Spirit has been in the room with me, and I felt it there very strongly. And I thought I'd bring those two in particular. Actually, several more than two in particular. There's a lady we see every day in Fredericksburg. Don't really know her. She's a clerk, but we see her just about every day, my wife and myself. And she's got a daughter with cancer who's going to pass away. They've given her maybe a month or two. That was about a month ago because they told her that she's been very ill. She has two small children. Her husband left her, so she's living with her mom. That's who we're talking to, is her mom. Her mom says she's not saved. I asked her, after we got a relationship going, if her daughter was saved. She said no, she was not, but the mom was. She is. So she's raising, we'll try to raise the kids as best she can. And she's a single. So it's just her and her six daughters and two small grandchildren, one's three. In the house. I asked for some help from several different close Christian friends and all about, so maybe some information I can get to her daughter. I asked her if I could take her daughter, go and meet her, and just talk to her. She felt uncomfortable with me doing that because her daughter is so ill, she's afraid that she wouldn't listen or that it might even make it worse because they give her a very short time to live, and she's very upset, and she's in her low 30s. And she's not going to live much longer for the doctor. She's very ill, extremely ill. A good friend of mine gave me two pamphlets that he thought would be good for her to read. I took them down with my wife and went to see her. I wanted to go and give them to her. And the Holy Spirit told me not to give her these pamphlets. I don't know why. I didn't have a chance to read them. But I felt like I was not supposed to give those to her. And I'll be quite honest, I didn't know why. I told Pastor Kurt this morning. In fact, he doesn't know what I'm getting ready to tell you right now. But he will do this. And you're all going to find out. Sure, it's kind of hot up there.
I'm not
I'm not talking to printed out, but I'm nothing for it.
This is pretty stuff to have someone say something.
That's okay. I got this pamphlet out because of my discussion with him early this morning. And I wouldn't give them to her because they're not biblically correct. And I did not even know that. I should have read them. But I did not give them to her. But I should have read them. They're not biblically correct. They have some things in them that I would not want her to read and think were true. And I did not even know that until after I spoke with Pastor Kurt this morning. Because I knew not to give them to her. I didn't know why. I was being led not to give them to her. Also, a friend of mine, and briefly, so what's going on there, I have some literature that Pastor Kurt gave me that is absolutely correct. And I'm going to give that to her, and then I think she's going to allow me to come and see her, and I'll tell you why. I have a friend whose father was ill with cancer. He moved him into his house. He did not like his father, and I asked him if he was saved, and he said no, and he is not saved. He didn't want me to want her saved. But his dad only had a month to live at the most. I told him I'd like to come and see him. He said, well, he'd ask, but he didn't think he would do it. I prayed about it for a few days. He called and said, his dad said he would like for me to come by and talk to him. I got done with the job early. I was working with a good Christian friend. And I called him. I said, hey, he said, why don't you go? I'll go with you. We'll go over and we talk to him. So I called my friend and said, hey, we'll come over, talk to Dick, we'll come over today. He said, no, he's not feeling good today. I don't think today would be a good day. I said, okay. Hung up, and my friend said, hey, you know what? Let's just do it anyway. Let's ride over anyway. So we drove over, we went over to his house. And he was laying in the hospital bed in the living room because he can't, you know, get up anymore. And he sat up on the bed and talked like he was fine. When we didn't, you know, he was talking good, but he was very ill, he was talking good. His son went over to start watching TV, We talked with his dad, and his dad sat the Lord right there, and the Holy Spirit was there, so I can't explain to you how I felt, but I know he was there, and I know this man sat the Lord. He since has died. He did die. Now, my friend that was with him, when praying with him, asked his son to call the TV so he could hear what he was saying, because he had no interest in listening to what we were saying. But what we said to his dad fell in his ears as well. And I invited him over here a few times. He actually came recently. You know, I don't know if you all probably paid attention to start the gym and set him back. And he hadn't been back since, but what we did then, I think the Holy Spirit was in that room. And I don't think he could have denied that. I know I couldn't. And I just want to share that with you because and when he told me about his dad, he's a bad man. Nobody liked him. He cheated, he stole, he did everything. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. The only reason he was there is because he died because nobody else took care of him. That's the only reason he was there. He'd never been to church, he'd never been anything. That's why he said he's surprised he wouldn't let me come over. But through praying on the Holy Spirit, work on him, he accepted us in and listened, and he made an earnest prayer for salvation. And you can feel the Holy Spirit in that room when he did that. It's, I can't describe to you. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no pastor that passed away. I say pastor because we really trust them and we should. We have reason to, but that I feel more comfortable is in front of the Lord is when he died. Is he going in there? And I have three notes. These are for myself, but these are very important to me to get to you. The Holy Spirit provides guidance, and he's always available. Okay, always available. The second one is pray a lot. Okay? You have to pray to be there with you. He'll pray for you even if you don't know what to say. And third is listen a lot. Because the Holy Spirit of God will guide you. And I can't always say that you'll hear him. You won't hear him talk to me like this, but you will know what to do when you need to do it. And then if you let him guide you, he will. So please, in my life, I've done everything I've asked for. God has given me some type of way. It may not have been the way I wanted, but I know it's the way it should be. And as long as it's his will, I'm okay with it. So I just want to share those things with you. The Holy Spirit it's amazing how he's in the room with us right now.
And
you don't always feel it as strong as you sometimes. When somebody gets truly saved and you know it, you will feel it because he is. But I think the whole heavenly host is there. And then when that gentleman is saved. So.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. I just want to thank you and share those with you. I think we're passing.
There's a difference between knowing about Jesus, believing in Jesus, and truly trusting in Jesus and being born again.
Amen.
Next week, we're going to be having an author of a book. He's going to be coming here, special for us, to share his testimony. This is a testimony that has changed many people's lives. It's a testimony that, again, it's in book form now, called Angel in the Fire. And this gentleman, we talk about salvation being a miracle. It is. But then sometimes we don't think that miracles like we hear of in the Bible happen, but they do. And this gentleman's going to be here next week to share his testimony with us. And so I want to ask you to bring anybody you know that you even question their faith. I don't care if they say they believe in Jesus and all that stuff, but in your heart of hearts, like Teddy said, he said he knew in his spirit from the Holy Spirit. This man died 2 weeks after he talked to him, but he knew in his spirit then that man became a brother of his, became a child of God.
Amen.
And he knew right then and there. I'm asking you to bring anybody and everybody you can think of to come and hear this man next week. Now I'll go ahead and introduce him, because he's here. His name is Bob Baker. He's sitting right there. Now, folks, you know Bob a little bit, some of you. But the story he has is extraordinary, and it is all God. I can promise you, I've talked with this man, I've talked with Ruby, his wife. They are not a people that take credit for anything. They are, as individuals and as a couple, they live out to God be the glory because of, like we sang, their blessed assurance. And I want you all to hear it, but I want you to bring in anybody and everybody you know to come hear that testimony. He's going to take the service. You know, after the whole sermon time, it's all his. Okay? And he's going to share his story. He's going to share what God has put on his heart. I want you to be here. I want you to bring anybody you know that has an inkling, that you have an inkling that may or may not know Christ. Let them be here. And maybe they know Christ and they just need encouragement, because I will tell you this, for us who believe, who are true believers, born again, we're going to be encouraged like you've never been before, I believe. And I'm going to ask that as a body, you pray. If you ask any requests of God this week amongst your praises, pray that God will touch your heart. Pray that God will touch your neighbor's heart. I pray that God will touch anybody that you can bring into this building next week. Pray that God will touch their heart and that He'll begin even now. Because the Holy Spirit, just like in that man who had never darkened the door of a church, he was his own son calls him a bad man. But he died knowing Jesus. Because Jesus can change that heart. Jesus can change the heart. So I'm going to ask. Earnestly ask and beg that you do that, and that you will not just you be here, but bring someone with you. You see, salvation is more than just for our head, for our knowledge. It's, in fact, very little about that. Knowledge and thought can really take us away from God. Like, for instance, the tightrope walker. His name was Charles Blondin. This was back in 1859. Bill, you remember. I remember.
Yeah, you
would play with him. As I understand, you would never get on that rope with him, would you? Let me tell you, he decided to walk from the Canadian side, I believe it was, to the American side, across the Niagara Falls. And he did it. He walked across it several times, people saw him. He even carried his manager on his back across. He did all kinds of spectacular things, going back and forth across this tight wire, across Niagara Falls. Then one day, talking to the crowd, he said, "How many of you believe that I can take this wheelbarrow?" And he had a wheelbarrow with him across this tightrope. "Oh yeah, we would. Yeah, you can. We know you can. We've seen you do it." And then he said, "How many of you believe that I could carry one of you in this wheelbarrow across this tightrope?" "Oh yeah, we believe it. And this one man up front, he said, "Oh yeah, I know you can do it. And he pointed at him and he said, "Thank you, sir. Will you come up here and get in this wheelbarrow?" The man absolutely refused. He believed it, but he wasn't going to trust it for himself. You see, many people believe in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you to understand. Many people will say they believe in Jesus. They'll even go to church on a regular basis. They've even been baptized. They're a church member. And they've never put their trust in Jesus. And so you might ask them, "Do you believe in Jesus?" "Oh yeah." "Are you going to heaven?" "Oh yeah." "What if you died right now? What if a terrorist came in and threatened your life? Would you stand for Jesus?" "Well, I don't know. I don't know about that." Really? Do you know where you're going when you die? Well, I hope it's heaven. When we are born again, there's something in our spirit that changes, and that's what we're going to talk about. You see, I've been talking about fishers and men. Last week I talked about the importance of how to fish. I gave some scriptures. I gave, those cards out and kind of talked with you. And I'm just curious, does anybody have a testimony of handing out a card that maybe they handed out last week and it was significant to them? Anybody? Okay. Well, that challenge is still there. Hand out those cards. Share the gospel of Jesus with someone. It's important. Now, here's the thing. If we're truly born again, we're going to know it's important. We're going to know it. And we're going to live it. We're going to speak it. So, fishers of men are born again. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I come before your throne. I'm burdened, Lord, I'm burdened that we, as the people of Zora Baptist Church, that we truly have an understanding of what it is to be born again. And I pray that you will open up our hearts and our minds to what it is to be born again, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not sure what we can do about that buzz.
We can hear you.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to shut it all off.
Yeah.
Try to figure that out. And I'll just talk loud. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll just kind of up my amperage here. I'm going to ask that you turn to a scripture passage in the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, if you would. John chapter 3. This passage that we're going to read is a testament of a man who wanted to believe in Jesus. But he needed some more understanding of what it meant. And this is actually the first place that we gain the knowledge of what it means to be born again. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "But how can anyone be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. "Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things?" Jesus replied. "I assure you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you about these things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious ruler. He was one who was filled with studied knowledge of the Old Testament, of the things of God. And yet, when Jesus told him he must be born again, he was clueless. Here he has the Word of God at his fingertips, even memorized. And it meant nothing but knowledge to him. He should have known who Jesus was. He should have known what Jesus was talking about. But he was blind. He was blind. He had no real sight. He was blind even though he could see. In his book, An Anthropologist on Mars, neurologist Oliver Sacks tells about Virgil, a man who had been blind from early childhood. When he was 50, Virgil underwent surgery and was given the gift of sight. But as he and Dr. Sacks found out, having the physical capacity for sight is not the same as seeing. Virgil's first experiences with sight were confusing. He was able to make out colors and movements, but arranging them into a coherent picture was more difficult. Over time, he learned to identify various objects, but his habits, his behaviors, were still like those of a blind man. Dr. Sacks asserts, "One must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person." Dr. Sacks, not necessarily a Christian, by the way. "It is the interim, the limbo, that is so terrible. You see, for us then to truly see Jesus, that means that we have to die to who we were and be born again into newness of life, so that we die to the blindness of our soul so that we can see in God's Spirit and have a new soul. That is to be born again. But so many would be like this man who can see but can't see. Maybe can distinguish out a little bit of Jesus. A little knowledge that, oh yeah, he's God's son. Oh yeah, you know, the Virgin Mary and stuff, that's, yeah. Oh, Jesus dying on a cross, yeah, and for payment of my sins, and was buried, rose again, yeah, yeah. I've been baptized, I'm a church member. I don't go to church anymore, maybe they say, but, oh, I believe in Jesus. How many have I heard my neighbor, such a really, really good Christian, not saying here, but through my career as a pastor, my neighbor's a really, really good Christian, but they don't go to any church and don't want to. I struggle with that. Are they saying they see, but they're truly blind? I don't know, necessarily. I haven't met them. But I think sometimes as Christians, we get caught in the trap that we meet these people and they have all these Christianese words and they have all these flowery things that they say to try to say that they're a Christian, but we don't test the Spirit because, oh, I don't want to judge anybody. And so therefore, we don't share with them the gospel because, oh, they're already a Christian. How about the person that says they're a Christian and they're a believer, but whenever you try to share the gospel with them, they get mad at you? Well, I think that's a reason for us to question. You ever heard that song? Tell me the old, old story. Write on my heart every word. Right? And then what is this? What did the words say in there? Jane, what did the words say in there about hearing it over and over? Okay, well, I'll help you out. It says, it never, basically, the gist is it never gets tiring, right, Jane? It never gets tiring. The born-again believer, man, it just excites us again. The angels, for instance, in heaven, they have seen
Millions through the centuries come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, to be born again. And you know, everyone is as exciting to them as the first one. And the Bible tells us that they are just cheering in heaven because they don't experience redemption. They're with God. And so when they see someone being saved, repenting of their sins, humbling themselves to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I cannot get to heaven on my own, repenting of their sins, they see this happen. Then they see this person cry out to Jesus, Jesus, you are alive. You're at the right hand of God. You are Lord of my life. You are Savior of my eternity. I cannot get to heaven by any other means but through you, Jesus. Jesus. And they are saved. They are born again. They become a child of God. And the angels just scream and yell, and better than any awesome football game, that the team wins. Oh man, Jesus won a soul. And they cheer. It's never old to them. They've seen it and heard it way more than any of us. It should excite our soul. Nicodemus, be born again, Jesus said. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Not of newness of will, but newness of heart. Not of gaining new knowledge, but gaining the truth of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world. We haven't received the Spirit of the world. We already have that. It's here. But the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. Those that have the Spirit are given because of the Spirit. Because we're born again, we are given the Spirit. And therefore, we then have understanding of what God gave us. We have a true understanding of what it is to be saved. Verse 13, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit. That's why I question anybody that gets upset if the gospel is being shared. And then they want to tell me they're a Christian. Really? But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, listen to this. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. Yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone of the world. Listen to that again, verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 15. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone of the world. Why could our brother Teddy sit with this man who has been a bad man by God's standards and the world's standards? And yet he witnessed the gospel to this man. He watched that man humble himself in repentance. He watched that man humble himself and call upon Jesus as Lord, believing that he was at the right hand of God, alive. Watched that man get saved, dying 2 weeks later, so there's no visible fruit that necessarily could be seen in that man's life necessarily. And yet, with full confidence, Teddy, in his spirit, knows that man is a Christian. Why? What it says here, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. I really get tired of people, especially claiming Christians, accusing godly born-again Christians of judging others. Now, don't get me wrong. We can get very fleshly. A born-again believer can get very fleshly and judge others. And that's the wrong kind of judging. But when we are coming to something, or talking with someone, or really burdened for someone, and truly, their salvation is between them and God. I truly agree with that and believe that. But if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart that you need to witness the gospel to them, if they truly are a born-again believer, then you're going to be able to go to them and share the gospel with them, and they're going to say, "Brother, I'm a Christian, and you know what? I'm glad you did that, because I'm not living the way I should be living. You were right to question my Christianity. You were absolutely right." If they get all offended, I can tell you right now, if I was out in the street and someone started witnessing to me, I'd listen to it with a smile. I'd sit there and want to hear, how did God lead them to share the gospel? I want to hear this. This is good. And then when they're done, I'm going to say, "Brother, you just encouraged me. You know what? You beat me to the punch. I should have been sharing Jesus with you, but praise God, you beat me to it. I should be excited about this. Because someone else is doing the work that maybe I should be doing." We should be able to evaluate. Doesn't mean we're always going to be, "Oh, I know they're a Christian." I'm not talking about that. We're not the judge. But we're fruit inspectors, aren't we? Doesn't the Bible say that we will know other Christians by their fruit? Brothers and sisters, does the Bible say that?
Amen.
So doesn't it also mean that we will know them if there's no fruit? That they're not? And if they claim Christ, then they're maybe not living for Christ. Is it not then our responsibility to hold them accountable if they claim Christ, that they're not living for Christ? So that brother or sister that says, "Man, I'm not going to church but I'm a good Christian. Oh, I'm a good Christian." We have every right to challenge them on that, because the Bible commands us to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. The Bible commands us for that. Now listen, we need to go with love. We need to love on them. They might have been really hurt at a church. There might have been a church that was really ungodly. I've had that happen to me. Ungodliness happened at the church to me. Hurt me tremendously. I can fully understand someone not wanting to go back to a church because of those church people. I can. We need to show them we're different. We need to show them that the body of Zora Baptist Church, man, we're doing our striving. We're not perfect. We're striving to live for Jesus. But we love you. I love you too much, brother and sister, to let you just stay at home. I love you too much. Come with me. Let me love on you. Let the people at Zord love on you. Why not? Why can't we be that bold? Why can't we? You see, if we're fishers of men, truly fishers of men, we're not fishers of fish. We're going to care about the fish, the men, the women, the souls. We're going to care about their souls. When we pray, it's not so much about the sickness they're dealing with, the disease they have. Certainly pray for those things, but are we praying for their souls? If they're a brother and sister in Christ and they're sick and they're dealing with things, pray for that. But are we praying that maybe they're sick because they might need to be in the hospital where they can be a testimony to Jesus to someone else? Our own brother Tommy Thompson fell off a ladder in the hospital. He shared Jesus with every nurse and every doctor that came in there. Who's to say he didn't fall off of there just so he could do that? Yes, sir?
Huh?
Yes, sir, that was him. And who's to say that? Folks, we have to be spiritually minded. As Paul was saying, we're not of the flesh, we're of the Spirit. We're a new creation. You know this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says that all things that were old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? We're that new creation in Christ. We can't take this on and talk to people in truth and love unless we understand who we are. That's what I love about the Apostle Paul. He made no bones about his fleshliness and that anything good in him was Jesus Christ. One instance, he was writing to Pastor Titus in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. He said this, listen to this. "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting others. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. He saved us. He saved us not by works of righteousness that we've done. Because I don't care how good a person is, they're never going to be good enough for God, because God's completely, utterly perfect and holy. But in this ugliness of who we are, and folks, we're still in the ugliness of the flesh, and I'm not talking about y'all are beautiful people. I love looking at you. So don't sit there and think, man, Pastor called us ugly. If you are, I'm uglier. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? But in our flesh, in who we are, man, we are nothing. We're nothing. Save the blood of Jesus Christ. He saved us anyway, not by works of righteousness, verse 5 of Titus chapter 3, that we've done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out this Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. Wow. Anyone who's born again knows their works will not save them. We are utterly bad before God. This bad man that Teddy witnessed to was no worse than any of us. Until God. And when he met God, he became just as much a child as God, of God, as me and as you. The old things have passed away. All things became new. And what's 2 weeks or 90 years in the scope of eternity? There's hardly any difference at all, if any, if you think of it mathematically. And so, we're utterly bad before God except for His grace and mercy, where He loved us enough to send His Son to make our payment for us. Romans 8, 7 to 9. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Folks, that's our mission of fishing for men. We are fishing for those to be born again. We are fishing for those to be born again. The bottom line is this. There are questions I think we should ask ourselves. I ask of myself. First, am I born again? Not just a head knowledge of, yeah, Jesus and the Bible and, man, I've studied and all this and, but Kurt, are you born again? If the answer comes out, well, yes, then we need to ask ourselves, if we are born again, have we made sure that those closest to us are born again? Not just a matter of, oh yeah, I've been to church, I've been baptized and all. You know all that. Some may even say, you know, I've attended church for 40 years. I was painting my office one time at a church I was at. One of the deacons wanted to come help me. I was brand new there, and so he wanted to come and just get to know me. And man, I just absolutely fell in love with this guy. He was like a grandpa to my kids, and I just absolutely loved this man. But my heart was absolutely shattered when I asked him about his salvation. You know what he said? He said, "Yeah, well, when I was a teenager, man, I didn't go to church, didn't care anything about it. But then I saw this pretty girl. And she wouldn't date me unless I went to church. So I started going to church, I married her, and I've been going to church ever since. Been baptized, church member, he's a deacon.
And that was his testimony of salvation. That's not a testimony of salvation, people.
Amen.
I was so concerned. I was a staff pastor. I went to the senior pastor and I told him about it. He became very concerned. He called the man up and said, "Listen, man, we need to get together. We need to talk." The man never would talk to him. Praise the Lord, his son-in-law, who was a ruffian of sorts, became a Christian, dedicated his life to the Lord, became a pastor. And I told him about this, and I said, "Brother, I love that man too much to see him go to hell. Make sure he knows Jesus." And his son-in-law sat him down. And he came to me later and he said, "Kurt, I know positively now, Bob's going to heaven. He's a believer. He's a born-again believer." Let's praise the Lord Jesus. That man had been in church for years and years, decades. Didn't make him a believer. Baptized. Church member. Deacon. Didn't make him a believer. I remember a church I was at, and the pastor started preaching before I got there. He was there 10 years before I got there. And when he started preaching in the first year, he had 5 deacons come to know Jesus as their Savior at a Baptist church. Because they didn't know Jesus. First question, am I born again? If I'm born again, do I know the people closest to me are born again? Are we just afraid to evaluate the Spirit? To call up to God and say, "God, show me. Show me, do they know Jesus?" And then if they aren't believers, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? It's great to go out and tell this whole community about Christ. But it saddens me to think we would do that without making sure those closest to us know Jesus. Now, it's their decision whether they accept Jesus or not, but have we done our part to make sure? Will you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you for this. I believe to be the close of this series of fishing for men, being fishers of men. It's not how I thought I would close, Lord, but as you just laid on my heart, Holy Spirit, that we needed to know what it was to be born again. And it's more than just words, more than just actions of baptism and church membership. And oh my goodness, Lord, it is truly knowing Jesus, humbling ourselves, trusting in Jesus alone for our salvation, upon the repentance of our sin, admitting we're sinners. Admitting it, knowing we can do nothing to earn your Almighty God, Father, Daddy. We can't earn your favor. May we be willing to go through these hard questions. Am I born again? Are those closest to me born again? And may we be willing to say, what am I willing to do about it? We're about to celebrate Jesus, what you did for our salvation, so that we could be born again. Spur us through this symbolism of your blood. Lord, you went through horrendous physical pain for our salvation, to pay for our sins. But this Bible is very clear that you went through even more excruciating spiritual pain when God the Father turned His back upon you, Jesus. All goodness left. There was nothing but hellishness. You died. But you didn't stay dead, Jesus. You conquered death. You conquered hell. You conquered the grave. And you rose from the dead so that we too, you being the first fruits of the resurrected, we can have that hope of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who seals our souls upon our new birth through Christ. May we go out as we have this time of communion. May it be very serious for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.